Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Grad Life Podcast. It's Ronan here, and I'll be your host today. Today I spoke with Owen Quinn, a Trinity alum who's currently working for LexisNexis as a paralegal in London. We spoke about how he's finding studying for the FE1s and his decision to become a solicitor. And we also touched on his time in Trinity, doing his LLB, his success debating, and how he made the move to London. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, so my name is Owen Quinn. I did law in Trinity. I graduated there, I suppose, about 5 months ago now. I did the LLB, and I have a training contract with a firm called Arthur Cox. I'm sure you've heard of it in Dublin. And I work at the moment in London as a paralegal for LexisNexis, which is like a multinational legal resources company that is used really by practitioners to gain kind of knowledge and avail of the various different legal resources that we offer.
Yeah, and for people that wouldn't know, it's not just practitioners that use LexisNexis. It's really useful for law students, isn't it? Just for all like articles and cases.
Lexis, yeah, so we publish all our articles which go up on the site that, yeah, students can use. Our I suppose the role that I'm in would be doing research and providing services to clients, which would be legal practitioners. But yeah, no, I remember using Lexis as a student myself. It's a brilliant resource, and it's one of those, it's a workplace that it's expanding a lot, which is exciting. So, you know, there's always new people coming into the team, and there's new practice areas being added. So it's a big learning curve, but no, it's brilliant. You're outside of your comfort zone, and you're getting to work with people from all over the UK, and work with people in America as well, which is very exciting.
Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. And would you mind just giving us kind of a how your day-to-day goes and how you find it in your current role?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very exciting. I really enjoy it. My day-to-day would be, well, I work as a paralegal across about five different practice areas. So we have employment, family, property, pensions, and international arbitration. And basically, you're just doing tasks from the solicitors in those practice areas. So the day is very varied. I mean, usually it would be broken up into, I might be, you know, 50-60% of my day, for example, might be with property, and then, you know, 40% of the day might be with arbitration. I mean, we just had the budget here in the UK yesterday, so it was all systems go on every practice area, and that's, you know, continuing a bit into today as well. So look, it's really exciting, but you're doing similar tasks for each practice area. You know, you're doing some drafting, you're doing some research, but obviously you've got to tailor that to the area that you're working with. So no, it's a brilliant, I find it a brilliant role in that you learn a lot about a kind of broad area of law, but you also at the same time learn key skills that apply universally.
Yes, yeah. You're actually learning from different areas, which is probably not a lot of people, you know, working in a legal area has that you're so diverse there.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And it was one of the reasons why when I was in final year and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I thinking about doing a master's, but what kind of pulled me towards working as a paralegal while I'm in the middle of FE1s as well at the moment was I wanted to work, and I worked a lot in college. I've worked a lot of different jobs in college, and I loved working with people, and I loved dealing with clients, and I loved that side of things. So I thought, and I loved the practical elements of law, and I thought, you know, this will be a good opportunity to get in, work with people in a workplace, and. You know, college in some ways, I mean, it obviously, you know, it was great, and the LLB in Trinity is good and very good, and I know it's very good in UCD as well. But you know, you don't learn those kind of practical skills of working with somebody in a workplace, and I was keen to kind of to pick that up. So it definitely pulled me towards the job.
It's definitely very different, I suppose, being in the workplace. But talk to me about kind of what the motivation was behind going to London as opposed to maybe getting a paralegal job in Dublin.
Yeah, no, great question. Well, I do all really English and England and Wales here. So there is an Irish team in Lexus, but I don't actually work on the Irish team. So I suppose it was the international aspect of it. I mean, I think I wanted to get out of Dublin as well. Yeah. You know, for a while I wanted to work somewhere else. And I think if if you're working now, your aspiration is to work as a corporate lawyer, it's really good if you have international experience on your CV. I think people really like that. It's different. Like, I'm the only Irish person on my team. There's people from all over the world that I get to work with. There's people from Asia. There's people from America. There's so many different people living and working in London. And I think, you know, Dublin is great, but it is a bubble. And I've definitely learned that. And if you live in Dublin and you go to college in Dublin, you're at risk of kind of being in a bit of a bubble there. And you learn so much. I've learned so much from working with people who come from different backgrounds, different universities, different parts of the UK, different parts of the world. And London has that international edge that you maybe don't see as much in Dublin. So I was keen to experience that.
No, sounds good. And I suppose, yeah, yourself, you grew up in Dublin. And then, as you said, college in Dublin. And after, it would have been work in Dublin. So, you know, very kind of small area logistically. And you're obviously kind of going out of your comfort zone, dealing with different people. And that probably helps you. Well, it helps you not only as a professional, but it probably helps you as a person as well. You know, you're broadening your kind of perspectives and things. Have you found that that's benefited you kind of personally and professionally, or...?
Totally. But you hit the nail on the head there. Totally. Like, from a professional point of view, it's just a different way of thinking. And it's a different way of looking at problems, and you're getting different perspectives. Like, I think, you know, again, I can't stress how much I absolutely loved university in Dublin. And as I said, I do my F1s, I'm going back there. But, you know, law is different over here. You get to see the difference. You also get to, you know, different clients. And yeah, personally, oh my God, completely. I mean, you're living in a city of, I think it's London's about 15 million people now. Say every second person in London is actually not from London. So
incredibly diverse, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah.
And then how would you describe your kind of your work-life balance at the moment in London? I know you're studying, but taking that into account, how's the kind of work-life balance, or, you know, your life outside of work? Are you enjoying it?
Loving it. Yeah, absolutely loving it. I mean, like, there's always something on over in the UK. I know that's such a cliche, but there's always something on somewhere. But it is actually absolutely very true. I'm running a marathon in May, so doing a bit of training for that. Okay. Probably not enough. Not enough training, but trying to get a bit done. And obviously with exams, we're fairly flat out at the moment. But yeah. No, I think, you know, I definitely learned from working in college the importance of efficiency and actually managing your time. And I think that skill has really helped me going into the workplace.
Yeah, it sounds like it kind of has to, because, you know, you're definitely a busy man. FE1s are demanding and then you're working. So I don't know how much running you're getting in there, but I'm sure you'll catch up after a while. Where's the marathon on?
It's in Prague. So
Prague, lovely.
Yeah. No, looking forward to it.
Very nice. And have you ever ran one before?
I haven't. No, I've done a 30K and I've done a half one, but no, it's good. I love it. And it you know, clears your head. I think it's important if you're busy with work to have that kind of thing, to have a physical thing or whatever your thing is. You know, I've always loved running. I've always did athletics in Trinity, and no, I loved it. It takes you outside. It's a breath of fresh air, clear the head. You always feel better after it.
Yeah, it's a huge thing to, I suppose, balance yourself between all the work. And I suppose kind of going back to when you finished your time in Trinity, I know you said you decided to go do the FE1s with Arthur Cox, but was that always the route that you were going to take, or what were your thoughts kind of coming out when you graduated, or before, when you were deciding that?
No, great question. Like a true law student, I'm going to give you a yes and no answer. But no, like, to be honest with you, to take it back, I had no idea what I was going to do for most of college. I remember going in, and in first year we had, I can't even remember what their lectures, I couldn't even remember what they were called. We had about, I think we had about 2 hours, 3 hours a week or something. Like, I remember going in, going, this is a joke. So
that's Trinity for you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Overrated. I know you guys might be doing maybe 5 or 6 hours.
40 hours a week, I think, in first year, something like that.
Okay. Well, you're the first one I've met who's doing that much work. I remember going in and going, God, we've a lot of time. So I did a lot of societies in Trinity, and I always worked. I worked down in Elephant and Castle. I was a waiter. Then I worked. A big job for me was I joined a startup called Shuppa, which is an online grocer in Dublin. It's absolutely brilliant. It's groceries in 15 minutes, and I was a manager there for a good chunk of time, and I got to see the CEO, a guy called Sean Marr, brilliant guy. And I suppose I wasn't shadowing him, I was working for him, but being able to see him up close, you got to learn all about a business. You're doing orders for food for Brennan's in the morning. Then you were dealing with customers. Then we did an advertising campaign. So you were trying to grow the business. And I remember just thinking, this is brilliant. You know what I mean? The entrepreneurship side of it. And I thought, this is so exciting. So I love that. And I love dealing with people through that. And I love the efficiencies of it. And I saw those as skills that I was developing. And I thought, because on the academic side, there was nothing jumping out at me that I really wanted to do a master's in. So I thought, well, I loved working in a startup. I think if you ever get a chance to do it. It was absolutely brilliant. This was so exciting. So I thought, okay, I have the skill. I have developed some skills there. I loved it. I loved the people aspect of it. And as I said, the efficiencies aspect of it and the business side. I mean, I never thought I'd be in a food business ever. Like, there was no, you know. But I found myself in it and just thought, this is really exciting. So I was left with that situation in final year of, you know, maybe a master's. But I thought, you know, I love this business side of it, and I love the people side of it. And I did a lot of debating in college. So I love that. I also was leaning towards litigation. And I think if you're commercially minded as a law student or litigation minded as a law student, I think the professional route is really good, because that gets you straight in and dealing with people. Like, if you love academia and if you love a specific area, go off and do a master's, but they are quite expensive. So I thought, I'll go the professional route. But to very roundabout answer your question, it was a journey. No, it took a long time to get there, but and it still is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're still I'm sure you're still finding your feet. I know you have the FE1s, but you know, often people can attain the FE1s and change or become a solicitor and then eventually change, you know, once you have that experience. But I'm sure it wasn't a simple answer. You know, you explained it. I'm sure a lot of people are going through that at the moment coming out of college. I was maybe 6 months ago. But you decided with the FE1s and the kind of trainee solicitorship. So tell me about that. You got a contract with Arthur Cox. How did you find the process of getting that? You know, was it really difficult or was it okay? And how did you kind of get that contract?
Yeah, it was. Well, I always say there's I have a very good friend who is an actor. And he always tells me about auditions and about getting rejection. And you just, as an actor, you got to, you know, just not take it personally. And I said that, you know, that sounds exactly like a law student applying for law. You just can't take it personally. I mean, I applied, I don't know how many internships I applied for. I applied for loads of internships. I didn't get any. I didn't get any internships the first. I didn't even get an interview. And I knew a barrister in the UK had judged me in a debate. So I called her up and I said, listen, I'm begging you. I've nothing. I got nothing. Can you please give me some? She said, great, that's no problem. Come on over. And so it worked out. So I had something that then when I applied for for training contracts. I had that work experience that they were looking for.
Okay.
But look, it is just there's no magic formula. There's no silver bullet. It is just quantity. It's taking the time. And like, if you apply for 10, you know, you might get two or three, you know, the odds are in your favor. The more you apply, the more you learn. I learned so much from the interviews that I didn't get and the internships that I didn't get and ringing people and going, give me the feedback, unvarnished. Don't hold back. What have I done wrong? Where are the gaps in my CV? Because people want to help. I found that people want to help. Industry professionals want to help. Dublin's a small place. It's not so hard to find people. You go, I want that person's job in 10 years. Ring them and say, listen, what have I got to do? What have I got to do with my CV? What have I got to do in an interview?
I think there's definitely, you've kind of touched on a few things. There's lessons to take from that. And first of all, it's to have a bit of balls, because you did have the bravery to ring the judge that judged you in the debating. And, you know, a lot of people might think, oh, no, I don't want to be, that might come across as this and that. But you just have to go for it, don't you?
Yeah.
Especially I found it as well going into interviews that I haven't got. But the questions sometimes they ask you have been different than the one before. So you're learning and you're learning, as you said. Now, one thing I'd like to touch on is the fact that, as you've talked about how hard it was there, I have friends, I'm doing a half law degree, business law degree, but I have friends that are in law who are really good students who cannot get internships. They can't get internships, which is, you know, nearly for third year students rather than penultimate year. And they're really struggling to do that. But it just shows the actual level of competitiveness going into training contracts there. So congratulations for getting your training contract. But I suppose just after that, now you got your training contract, and then what you're studying for your FE1s is LexisNexis kind of just work in the meantime while you're studying? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I wanted to work in abroad, and I also, you know, I wanted to do something that would help me when I started in a training contract, and that would, you know, broaden my experience.
Yeah.
And I think it ticks both of those boxes. So yeah, I think if you can, I mean, I know, you know, however people do it, if people take time off, or people, you know, work in a totally different area, it's different every individual. But for me, I always kind of felt and feel, particularly at our age now, if you can fill your time with something that is going to help you down the line while being, albeit fun and ticking other boxes, I think you got to jump on that.
Yeah.
It ticked those boxes for me. Yeah.
And how are LexisNexis? So obviously, have you done, what month are we in now? We're in March. So did you do exams in September?
I did. Yeah, okay. I did.
So did you do four or?
I did three. In September. Yeah. So it was. Yeah. I mean, I went out. I was away. I was working in Chicago over the summer on a J1, and came back a bit early and kicked it off with the FE1s. I think what helped is that, you know, for me, I was always afraid I would lose the study mind. And I think if you are, well, for me anyway, I suppose it's individual, but I wanted to get them. I wanted to just start them as soon as I left college.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably because, you know, you don't, like, for me, once I'm done exams, like this part of my life, I'm done them. You know, I never want to do them again. You know what I mean?
Understandable,
I get working. Everyone is different. I mean, I know people who love studying and they love academia and that's their thing and that's brilliant. But for me, I always preferred actually working and actually dealing with people. So I just wanted to get the exams out of the way. But it's totally different for everybody.
Yeah, no, personally, I feel the same, because four years of college, you know, I felt like it was a lot of theory and kind of that side of things, where I'm really eager to kind of get working now. So you did three in September, and what are you, are the second set of FE1s in March now?
They are, yeah, they are.
Okay, and how many are you trying to do now?
I am doing four at the minute.
Four at the moment, okay.
And then I have one left over for September, yeah.
So not done yet, but no, look, fair play to you. And what I'm asking, I suppose, is with LexisNexis,
Were they, how did they accommodate you in terms of time off for study, or what did you work there? Did you have to do it in the evenings and the weekends?
Yeah, I mean, my boss is brilliant. She totally gets it. And actually, a lot of paralegals, if anyone's considering it, a lot of paralegals do professional exams at the same time. So it's okay. It's kind of, they know, you know, paralegals everywhere, a lot of them are doing, it's called the SQE in England, Wales, and the FE1. So it there's structures in place, and people don't, you know, people get it. Okay. But then, yeah, I mean, look, in the build up, yeah, there's no two ways about it. It's coming home at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and studying. Yeah, you really? can't.
Okay, so
there's no way around that, unfortunately.
In the build up, as you said, realistically, yeah. It's not like you're getting a day off to study. It's your full day of work, and then you're trying to do the evenings, weekends, and then obviously your exams were this week. Some of them. So how did you get on?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You can never know. Yeah.
Come back to me and see. Yeah.
I have the utmost confidence in you from talking to you for the last 15 minutes so far. So hopefully it went well. But you obviously have to take the days off for that. And that's kind of the only days you're taking really for that.
Pretty much, yeah. I took a few days off before. But yeah, no, in the weeks beforehand, it is just coming home and doing the study afterwards.
I suppose putting in the hard grind just before. The only reason I was asking, you know, the very structural questions is, I'm sure there's a lot of people thinking, okay, how do I structure it when I am going for it? Because it is very up in the air, you know, and it's like, can I work when I'm, so I'm sure a lot of people think about that. No, but thanks for that. And so have you any more this time? No, you're finished this time.
No, I have two more. I have two more next week. Yeah.
Okay, next week. Right. Yeah. This is very busy times for you. So, did you ever think about going down the route as a barrister, given all your debating experience?
I did, definitely. And I absolutely loved debating in college and moot court. I did a lot of mooting and I think you asked me, had I ever done the Matson mock trial? I was forever the bridesmaid on the Matson mock trial. I got the, I think me, myself and my partner, it was cursed. We got runners up. I think were we in all four finals of college, and we lost every. Oh, there was three. We lost every single one. Most of them to another girl in law who deservedly won them. A girl called Beatrice Campbell, who was absolutely brilliant. So we did, I did a lot of moots, and I did a lot of debating in college, and loved it. I did think about going down that route. But I also loved working in a business, and I loved dealing with people as well. And so I loved the adversarial part. Yeah, I love the adversarial part of it as well. But it's about, you know, looking at something where you can bring all of your skills together. Okay. And definitely, look, I would recommend anyone. There are so many mock trials and moots and all that stuff. That, and I know UCD are brilliant for them as well. And Trinity are brilliant for them. I remember Cork had a brilliant moot competition. So there's so much out there, but go and do, because they really, really help you. And they help you in every respect. They help you in your analytical skills, obviously presentation skills. But like, I remember you'd be doing these competitions and you would have, like, Ireland is a small place. You'd have, we had a Supreme Court judge judging us on a mock trial final. We'd had Attorney General and then loads of top lawyers. And they're giving you this feedback and they're giving you advice for free. So I would say to anyone in college right now, jump on that and do as many as you can, because this is something at your doorstep that will really, really help you. And it's also great fun and you meet loads of people, you know?
Yeah. And I was going to ask you that question, kind of, what's your tips for law students going through their degree? Because you would almost say, we've touched on how competitive it is coming out for a trainee solicitorship. And I think you would almost say that if you just do the degree and you never get involved in anything else, that it might not be good enough. And I think, you know, well, you've said it there, mock trials, debating. We had a module actually called Advocacy and Mooting. It was an elective and it was brilliant. And that was with a top barrister as well, James McDermott. And what you said, you know, when you go to these mock trials and things, you're actually acquainted with the judges, or you're acquainted with whoever is involved. And, you know, that was a huge asset for you. Getting that connection and getting over to London for experience. So you really have to go into that extracurricular kind of mindset a little bit in college.
Oh, completely. Like I would say 80% of what I learned in college was actually outside of the degree. Maybe even more. Maybe certainly the first 2 years. And I can't stress enough weighing tables, working in a business as a warehouse manager, how that was. I learned probably more, if I'm being honest with you, I learned more from that than I ever learned from my degree, because that taught me people, and that taught you had to sell, you had to build relationships with people, you had to think on your feet, you had to work under pressure. It's all well and good having a fancy law degree until someone tells you to mop the floor and you can't do it, you know what I mean?
That's fair,
Or until someone tells you to do, you know, we remember in COVID and there was all these, the restaurant had to go on to deliveries, and you had three different phones up and you had 50 riders, and actually had to learn a bit of Portuguese because they were all from Brazil. So it was great crack. Okay. Like now, that is working under pressure. And
it definitely is. Yeah. We're not saying that to get a training contract you have to learn Portuguese, but it's the idea.
It doesn't hurt. It's not negative.
You kind of touched on it there. You said about mopping the floor, and not to get too motivational, okay? There might be people crying on this podcast now, but that, you know, there was a quote: if you want to change the world, then you have to, you know, change or make your bed in the morning. It was that kind of learn those basic skills and things. It's good advice. You're right, and you can pick up. College is very theoretical, and you can pick up those practical skills in part-time jobs that might have nothing to do with your career. I'm sure the debating. Now you were very successful in the debating. I'll not to give you too big of a head here, but best individual speaker for UCC at the InterVarsity Moot in 2021. So well done on that. But I'm sure you learned a lot of kind of skills in the legal realm there. And it gives you confidence. And I enjoyed it. And I know you said you kind of enjoyed it as well. It's not just a chore. It's actually enjoyable, you know?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant crack. I mean, it's great fun. You know, you go down to and they always treat you really well. You know, you get put up somewhere.
Oh, lovely.
You go out afterwards. Meeting people. No, it was very collegiate, and we loved it. And I loved the fact that it was like I'm like a cliche machine today. It was living law or whatever. It was law in action or whatever. You know, because it's one thing.
No, it's true, and that's you don't get a lot of examples of that. Whatever you said, living law or law in action. That's one of the only probably things in college where you're actually going to get. You know, real law in action there.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I remember when we did it, was the advice was to go to the courts because it's open. You know, you can attend cases if you want. But just to move on, because the time is ticking, I know you're a busy man. You contributed to a book, a legal book. Would you mind telling me about that a bit?
Yeah. So I mean, sort of fell into it really. I was doing.
I've never fell into anything along those lines now, but that's fine. Negligence.
It was. I know it's a niche thing to have fallen into, but really, it was actually. It kind of for me, it demonstrated the importance, and I think of networking with people your own age, and I think that when we talk about networking, a lot of the time you think. Older people, established industry professionals, and obviously that's really important as well. It can't be undersold enough. But actually, I find like some of your biggest assets are your friends in college. And so how I got into this was a friend of mine who a very good friend of mine who I became good friends with through the LLB was basically doing it. She was working for a barrister researching this book, and I had done a lot of moots with her, and I'd done I think it was a specific Medneg moot, and she called me up and she said, you know, with this something you have interest in. I remember going, I don't like academia. No way am I doing that. That's not fun. And she kept on saying, Will you look at it? Looked at the proposal, went, okay, this is brilliant. This would be really exciting. It's a cutting edge area of law. I'm in. And that's how it took off, you know. So it was actually through a friend in college, and then she introduced me to the barrister Luan O'Brien, who's a top leading practitioner on medical law in Ireland, and he was absolutely brilliant, a brilliant mentor, and I got to see how he worked and working with him. So that's how we got into it, and it was over COVID as well, because I thought the other reason I got in was I thought, you know, COVID, I can't do loads of the stuff I've been doing. Might as well use the time to try out something a bit different. And no, researching on the book was brilliant.
Fantastic. Goes back to what you said was kind of going out of your comfort zone a little bit. But yeah. But how did you find I suppose researching for it and contributing towards this? Like you know, technically, how did you actually find that then?
Yeah, I mean, it was I suppose like a very long essay in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very long essay in college with research, deeper level of research.
Legal books are, you know, they're very, you know, when you think of a legal book like that, they're huge with the hardbacks and they're 400 pages long. So yeah, you know, very extensive and kind of in deep.
Extensive. Yeah. And what I found, an extra layer of critical analysis, because it was dealing, the chapter I was on is on a, I won't get into it too much, but it's emerging issues is the book. So we were writing the book. So the critical analysis was us, where in college, you know, really you're kind of using established authors' critical analysis. Whereas this was actually very much your own critical analysis. And it was about, for me, it was a confidence thing. So it was about actually saying, right, I have done the research, I've done the work on this, I have confidence in my own critical analysis. Because at the start I was going, I'm only a student. My opinion doesn't matter. And I mean, look, I'm not at all saying that it really does. But it was about giving that extra layer of critical analysis and a huge learning curve. But no, it was a challenge. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. No, but look, that's very, very impressive thing, I suppose, coming out as a student to have contributed to a book and to have said that. So, you know, honestly, really impressive and well done. And you guys obviously had a book launch at the time. And if I'm correct, I don't know if it's still there, but it's in Hoggis Figgis. Is that the bookshop that it might be available in?
It is in Hoggis Figgis, I believe, in this summer, I think. Not yet. That's a very good question. I would need to confirm. It will be.
That's fine.
But I'm not 100% on the date. I didn't deal with the publishing. Okay. That happened. Yeah.
There will be a huge line of Grad Life listeners outside Hoggis Figgis now. Come here. Look, time on the Zoom is closing up soon. Yeah. We've about 2.5 minutes left. So I suppose, have you a plan or a dream in terms of your career? You're looking at solicitor role now, but what's kind of, you know, have you something in the back of your mind, a dream or a focus for the next 5 to 10 years?
I think for me, the next 5 or 10 years would be get qualified, get established, finding an area of law. Would be commercially inclined at the moment, but obviously the great thing about the training contract and the great thing about Arthur Cox is it's 5 seats. So it would be getting qualified, it would be finding an area, and then after that, I'm really not sure. But that would be the medium plan, yeah.
Well, it's not a bad answer. I'll tell you that. It's not a bad answer. No, look, Owen, it's been fantastic talking to you. I've learned a lot even talking to you, and it's been a pleasure. I think you're a really impressive guy, and we wish you the best luck with whatever you do. I'm sure that you'll fly it. Best luck in your exams, and we just hope you have a good time in London for the rest of your time.
Aaron, thanks a million. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I don't know, are all those compliments anywhere near true, but you're very good to say them. No, huge fan of Grad Life, so really, really great to talk to you.
Okay, thanks a million for coming on.
Not at all, a pleasure.